You're listening to the Qalam Podcast, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussain Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussain will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin ustafa. خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to participate in this gathering of the Khatm al-Qur'an. As the final verses of the Qur'an were recited, I was also in participation in the congregation. And I was thinking of the final verses as they were being recited to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Jibril alayhi salam. For a Muslim, the completion of the Quran, in essence, is the reminder of the chapter in history where a revelation also completed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had come down. And the beautiful life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was now beginning to wrap up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a messenger, and his entire life was focused on delivering this Quran we heard today to you and I. And that came at a cost. That came at a cost of being tortured. That came at a cost of being witnessing his sahaba going through so much. That came at a cost of being sworn at, publicly humiliated. But every day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's as if he woke up again and said, Ya Allah, make this a better day than yesterday. And that day, once again, he would be tortured. He would be sworn at. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be humiliated again. And he would be so broken that before he would go to sleep to cheer himself up, he would once again stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray to Allah, cry to Allah, spill his heart out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the next day start all over again. When you see how the Sahaba dealt with the revelation of the Qur'an and what it actually meant to them, it was something very different. When the final verses of the Qur'an were being revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba were broken, they were in tears. Because they realized that now that the Qur'an had been revealed and its revelation had come to an end, this also meant that the greatest blessing of their life was going to be soon taken away from them. And without doubt, that was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they recollect the moments very clearly. They say that we were standing in the plain of Arafah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered us together. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the ayah upon me. This is now roughly 90 days before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. The ayah of the Qur'an was revealed. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Today I have completed for you your religion. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. And I have completed showering my bounties upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I am pleased that Islam be your religion. This Quran isn't just a recitation. It's not the singing of a hymn or something. This is not just a ritual. This is life. The Quran is guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to us in the Qur'an. Oh my servants, aren't you listening? And the Sahaba, they say that when this ayah was revealed, we realized that revelation was now coming to an end. The last ayah of the Qur'an revealed on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the ayah, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And be conscious of that day that every one of you will be returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that everyone will be held accountable by Allah, and they will be compensated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not a single soul will be oppressed. The Sahaba, they say, as the revelation ended, we knew now the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also end. And this became hard on them. It was very difficult for them. Every time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would read the Quran, it would bring tears to their eyes. The Sahaba, they say, we remember the last time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam read Quran to us. It was the Maghrib Salah. We prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. and he recited the final verses of Surah Al-Mursalat. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ And the Sahaba say that was the last prayer he led us in. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Maghrib Salah went home. And when the time for Isha came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking towards the masjid. And that's when his feet gave up on him and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fainted. Sorry. For anyone who studied the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what you know about him is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not someone who fainted very easily. He was a very strong person. But 63 years of what he went through, from childhood of being born without a father, seeing his mother pass away, holding his child in his hand, being tortured, walking past Sumayya radiallahu anha as Abu Jahl, the vile human being, he disrespected her and ultimately murdered her. And all the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could do was stand there and say, "Sabran ya ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakum al-jannah." Aren't there moments in your life that you really want to do something but you just can't do anything because you're not in a position to do something? I think of what I can do for the situation in Syria, what I can do for my sister Nabara rahimahullah. I can't do anything for them because I'm so far away. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is standing there and he can't do anything. He doesn't have the ability to do something. At that time, they weren't slaves, they couldn't be set free, they were being tortured. And all the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could do, like many of us, is stand there and say, "Sabran ya ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakum al-jannah." Be patient, O people, the family of Yasir. Your abode will definitely be paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he woke up from his unconsciousness, and the first thing he asked was, "Asalla an-nas, have the people prayed?" The companion said, "O Messenger of Allah, no one has prayed, they're all waiting for you." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed his wudu and went to the mosque a second time and he fainted again. He then woke up and asked, "Have the people prayed?" They said, "O Messenger of Allah, they're all waiting for you." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a third time as he was going, he collapsed unconscious again. And this time when he woke up, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something that broke the hearts of the Sahaba. He said, "Go and command someone else to lead salah because I'm no longer fit to be your leader." Think about those moments. This is a closing of revelation. This is Khatmul Qur'an, the real Khatmul Qur'an. This is where revelation stops, and now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is leaving. The Sahaba, they say, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu led us in prayer. The final sermon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us. He stood up amongst us, and he remembered all of the Sahaba who had given him their life and their wealth. He prayed for the Ansar. He prayed for the Muhajirun. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam publicly asked, "Have I fulfilled my responsibility? Did I convey the Qur'an to you? So that no one comes until the Day of Judgment and holds a claim against our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he cheated us. He didn't convey the Qur'an." Because there might be someone, unfortunately, there might be someone who will say that, "Ya Allah, I would have acted upon the Qur'an had the Qur'an reached me. It wasn't my fault the Qur'an didn't reach me." But today again is a hujjah against us. Today being a part of a gathering where the Qur'an is completed, this is a proof against us on the Day of Judgment that we were there as the Qur'an was recited. Yet we chose to neglect it if that's what we did. Otherwise, the recitation of the Qur'an is a reminder. And the companions, they said, "O Messenger of Allah, you have conveyed. O Messenger of Allah, you have conveyed the amana, the trust that was given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." The Sahaba, they say, the morning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was leading the companions in Fajr Salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the mosque. He removed the curtain between his house in the mosque and he saw the Sahaba praying behind Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood there and he smiled. It brought him so much joy to know that today he is going to leave this world and return back to Allah. And this is the state he is leaving the ummah in, that they are awake at Fajr Salah, praying Salah behind the most beloved Imam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says, "The Prophet hadn't smiled in so long that when I saw him smiling, even though I was in salah, I wanted to break my prayer and go and give him a hug." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that I was about to do that. So the Prophet said to me, "Don't do that. You continue on your prayer." After salah was over, the Sahaba came to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they went back to their homes to take care of their needs. And it was these final moments that revelation really came to an end. It was these moments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped wahi. It was these moments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's as if He's announcing to mankind that this is the final revelation and nothing will be added to this again. Aisha radiallahu anha says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's health began to deteriorate. He was in my lap, in my home. My saliva was in his mouth because she was using her toothstick to clean the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's something he desired and something he loved. She says, we were with him and I kept taking a wet cloth and wiping over his forehead thinking that this will wa'akan za'ila, inshallah, that this is an illness that will pass by if Allah wills. She kept doing this until she says that then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said something that broke us all out into tears. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ala inna lil mawti sakarat," death is very difficult. And she says, when I heard this, I knew that this was it. The journey had come to an end. The great moments were now wrapping up. Jibreel alayhi salam would not come back with wahi again. We would not see the smile of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam again. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I brought the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in nearby. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam pointed to the heavens. And he made a choice that I pray to Allah, every one of us is able to make. He said, Allahumma fir rafiq al-a'la, Ya Allah, I'm done with this dunya. I don't want it anymore. I just want to be with Allah now. I've had enough. This road has only brought me difficulty and pain. Ya Allah, how long are you going to continue to test me? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam pointed to the heavens and he said, Allahumma fir rafiq al-a'la, O Allah, with the highest companion. O Allah, with the highest companion. Who from amongst us desires the companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's the last thing on his mind, that Ya Allah, I've had enough of this dunya. I just want to come back to the Jannah that you created for us. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam leaves the world. Aisha radiallahu anha says that before his hand even touched the ground, I knew that that blessed hand would never raise again. And I was the first one to cry because I knew the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had left us. As the final verses were being recited today, that image was in my mind. The actual ending of revelation. And what kind of impact that had on the Sahaba. And what kind of message that was to mankind. That it's all ended. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had any meaning to us, if this all of his sacrifices have any meaning, then it should all come down to us connecting ourselves for what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave his life conveying to us. Building a relationship with that Quran. Not letting it be just a Taraweeh Ramadan thing. How many Muslims in this congregation can say confidently that I've read the Quran cover to cover with translation 3-4 times in my life at least? Very few can actually say they've done it even once. And we say we're Muslims. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. I'm not here to judge anyone's iman. But there is a value to our faith too, isn't there? It can't just be ritual. That, you know, that ritualistic faith that we say we believe in Allah, but no one has read the Quran. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, when I read the Quran and every time Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, I sit up straight. Because I know at this point Allah is addressing me directly. Allah is speaking to me directly. What happens to our relationship with the Quran? As this Ramadan ends, and as our Imam beautifully said, before he led the salah, that this is the end of Ramadan more or less now. The 29th night is here. This is the last possible night of Laylatul Qadr. Tomorrow we'll break our fast, and it's very possible people will start their preparations for Eid. And all of the spirituality that we've built, and all this seriousness, and all these thoughts that we've let develop in our mind of Akhirah and Jannah and Jahannam, believe it or not, as soon as Eid is announced, it's all going to be gone. There will be a different joy there. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Everything has a place and time. There will be a new hal. There will be a new state that we'll enter into. The joys and celebrations of Ramadan. If you want to make something out of your Ramadan, I know you've done a lot already, but just don't give up now. This is the end of the race. If you fail, as Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala said, that whatever you have left of your life, do something in it. Because if you do something now, it's very possible Allah will forgive you if you failed earlier on in your life. This is the last chance. Nobody knows how much time is actually left of our life or of Ramadan. So we make something of this. We sit down and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Khatm al-Quran just occurred, and believe it or not, these are gatherings in which du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are gatherings of blessings. If this is Laylatul Qadr, there are angels surrounding us, including Jibreel alayhi salam. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا. Even Jibreel alayhi salam descends to the heavens of the earth, to the skies of the earth on Laylatul Qadr. If this is Laylatul Qadr. So I close off by reminding every one of us what a sacrifice the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave for this Qur'an. And I wish I could express in words the gratitude that I carry for the young Huffaz and our Imam for the sacrifice they put in to leading Taraweeh prayer. As community members and as attendees, I don't think we realize how much really goes into this. Trust me, you actually have no idea how much goes into these people doing what they do. You can ask their family members and they'll tell you what they go through, how much sacrifice they put, how much time they give, just so they can come here and lead us in congregation. These are our stars. These are the people who walked us through Ramadan. Had it not been them, it's very possible we wouldn't have had a completion of the Qur'an in this masjid. These were the people who said, we will take the responsibility. And as we were resting and as we were sleeping and we were complaining about food and hunger and rest and all this other stuff, these were people who put all of that on the back burner. Ask a person who was hafiz of the Qur'an and needs taraweeh prayer, they will tell you that I don't get the chance to do my personal ibadah because I'm preparing my few pages that I have to lead in taraweeh prayer. It's as if they put their personal sacrifice, their spiritual gains aside for us. And I know this because this is the team that I was always a part of. Until I had my back injury, I led Taraweeh every single year. And this was my life. People would ask me, what do you do in Ramadan? And I say, what I do in Ramadan is prepare for Taraweeh. I give it my thoughts. I really focus. I want to make sure that I can deliver the best I can for my congregation. So I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I ask you all to say ameen to this. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives these huffaz the highest rank in Jannah. Amen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them children and grandchildren and keep Hifzul Qur'an in their progeny until the Day of Judgment. Amen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor them in this world. Amen. Their parents, their spouses, and their children. Amen. And this dua I'm going to make, and I want you all to say ameen to this. Ya Allah, let there be a hafid in the household of every person sitting here today. Amen. Ya Allah, let the Qur'an be preserved through our lineage too. Ya Allah, let the deen be served through our blood as well. Ilah al-Alameen, give this masjid success. Amen. The people who put this together, Ya Allah, the board of the masjid, take no credit at all, believe it or not. I've been behind the scenes with them. And what they do and how much they go through and how many hours they put into this. As an attendee, you walk in, take your shoes off, do wudu, come here, put your shoes on and you're gone. But these people are here sometimes till Fajr Salah. These people put their life into this. They aren't paid a penny. Tell someone to go pass out flyers after Jumu'ah Salah on a volunteer basis. They'll do it one Friday, two Fridays, and that's it. These people have been serving our masajid for years. Ya Allah, protect them and their families too. Give them the full reward in this world and give them the best reward in the hereafter. And I close off by making dua for every single one of you. Ya Allah, shower these hearts with your mercy. Ya Allah, give these eyes the ability to cry for you. Ya Allah, bring these hearts and let them desire your ibadah. Ilah al-Alameen, forgive all of our sins. Ya Allah, the great ones and the small ones. Ya Allah, the sins we did during the hours of the day. Ya Allah, the sins we committed in the secrets of the night. Ilah al-Alameen, we thought no one was watching, but you were always there. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive us. Ya Allah, we should not walk out of the doors of this masjid, but you have forgiven all of our sins. Ilah al-Alameen, we ask that you shower your mercy upon the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, shower your mercy upon the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We raise our hands to Allah and we ask Allah, Ya Allah, just as we gather here today in your home, gather us all together in the highest gardens of Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Allah, protect our children. Ya Allah, protect their iman. Ya Allah, protect their iman. Ya Allah, safeguard the Muslims wherever they are. Ilah al-Alameen, protect our masajid, our madaris, our marakiz. Ilah al-Alameen, give us all the ability to visit the holy lands of Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara. Ya Allah, protect our marriages. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq and spiritual guidance to be good parents. Ilah al-Alameen, allow us to be upright human beings. Ya Allah, let us be honest and truthful in our transactions. Ilah al-Alameen, give us a bond with the Qur'an. Let us understand the Qur'an. Internalize the Qur'an. Practice the Qur'an. Ilah al-Alameen, allow us to make dua from our hearts for once. Ya Allah, let these ameens come from our hearts. Ya Allah, let these ameens come from our hearts. Ya Allah, if tonight is Laylatul Qadr, we ask you of your infinite mercy to not allow a single person in this gathering or a Muslim wherever they are in the world to be deprived of its honors, blessings, and mercy. Ya Allah, wherever the orphans are, give them sukoon in their heart. Ya Allah, give them joy on the day of Eid. Ya Allah, wherever those are that are hungry and starving, Ya Allah, fulfill their hunger. Ya Allah, whoever is thirsty today and on the day of Eid, Ya Allah, quench their thirst. Ya Allah, the one who has no home, today we make dua that you return them to their homes. Ya Allah, the countries that are broken, Ya Allah, we ask for them today sitting here in front of you. Ya Allah, return their countries to them. Ya Allah, give us leaders who care, who have hearts, who have mercy, who are God-fearing, who have conscience, who have taqwa. Ilah al-alameen, we ask you to accept our dua. Ya Allah, accept our dua. Ya Allah, accept our dua. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.